welcome to This Upbeat Life, the show where we take a light-hearted look at life, what makes us tick, and explore what makes people happy. I'm Simon JJ Green, and I'll be interviewing ordinary people from all walks of life, as well as looking at the latest in wellness, health science, nature, and the quirkier side of the health and well-being industry. Now please remember that the information and opinions shared on this podcast are for general knowledge and informational purposes only, and do not constitute medical advice. Now, let's get on with today's episode. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, and welcome to episode 7 of This Upbeat Life. I'm so happy you could join me today. On quick news today, artificial sweeteners for kids. Experts say they're a no-no. On The Real Deal, we're delving into brain aging. It happens earlier than you probably think. And on Far Out Stuff, you've neutered your dog and his balls are gone, but all is not lost. On quick news today, we're looking into something that might be lurking in your kitchen cupboard and may even be in your kids' lunchboxes too. Yes, we're talking about artificial sweeteners, those sugar substitutes that claim to be guilt-free. But are they really the right choice for our little ones? Well, apparently not. At the moment, it was estimated that in 2024, 144.25 million people in the United States alone consumed some sort of artificial sweetener. So the latest info is that a group of UK nutrition experts, that's the Scientific Advisory Committee on Nutrition, or SACN for short, is now saying that young children, especially under fives, should avoid drinks with artificial sweeteners and sugar. That means those so-called tooth-friendly squashes, the ones with sweeteners like sucralose, aspartame, saccharin or stevia on the label, might not be as child-friendly as they seem. What does the SACN advise? They say that water is best for the precious little munchkins. Boring maybe, but better for them in the long run. But why all the fuss about sweeteners? Well, we already know that too much sugar is bad for kids. It leads to tooth decay and later on, possibly things like obesity, type 2 diabetes and heart problems. Believe it or not, artificial sweeteners have been around since the late 1800s. But the advent of popular sweeteners in the 60s and 70s was supposed to be the miracle antidote to all the negatives of regular refined sugar, giving us the sweet taste we yearn for but without the calories. You could literally have your cake and eat it too. But of course there's a twist, because the boffins are concerned that giving children a constant taste of sweetness, even if it is calorie-free, might make them crave sweet foods more and more. And once those taste buds are set, it's tough to break the habit. This could be relevant to adults too. I mean, did you know that sucralose, marketed in the US as Splenda, is 600 times sweeter than sugar? So the SACN did a deep dive into all the available evidence. And you guessed it, the science isn't exactly crystal clear. There's not much proof that sweeteners are actually helping to prevent tooth decay, and while artificial sweeteners might help with short-term weight control, they're definitely not the only way to go about it, or possibly even a necessary one. And there's another issue. The experts also say we don't really know how much of these sweeteners people, especially kids, are actually consuming. Food labels aren't always transparent with their ingredients, so they're calling on the government and food companies to get serious about collecting data and sharing it out. Now, just to be fair, some scientists are saying, let's not panic. Professor Graham Finlayson from the University of Leeds, for instance, says being cautious is smart, especially with kids, but that we shouldn't throw out sweeteners just yet. After all, we're in the middle of an obesity crisis, and tools that help reduce sugar intake might still have a place if we use them wisely. Meanwhile, the International Sweeteners Association, yep, that's a thing, says sweeteners can still support public health goals if they're used properly as part of a balanced lifestyle. Now, many, many websites that I've seen will tell you that the artificial sweeteners are bad for you and that they've caused cancer in lab rats, etc., though they have never been attributed to causing any cancer in humans that I can find. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? So where does this leave us? It appears for preschool children, the experts say to ditch the sweetened drinks altogether, whether they're sugar or sweetener-based. Water or plain milk is the way to go. And for older children, sweeteners may be better than sugar, but they're not a magic fix. As always, it's about balance and variety and getting kids used to real, less sweet foods from the start. and perhaps some sweet berries on their porridge or in their cereal. And obviously it might be a tough sell if they're used to neon-coloured squash, but in terms of a long-term health payoff for your children, it'll be totally worth it. Now, if you're worried about your child having artificial sweeteners, drop me a line at thisupbeatlife@gmail.com, or conversely, if you don't see what the fuss is all about, let us know and share it with our listeners. And on the real deal, today I'm investigating something that's literally on all our minds, our brains, and how they age. Now, don't worry, this isn't going to be a gloomy deep dive into neurology. I want to talk about what's going on inside our heads as we get older, and whether a surprising little energy boost may help slow things down a bit. So, at what age do you think your brain starts to cognitively decline? 60s? Maybe your 70s? Maybe even your 80s? Now, I can see everyone turning to their partners right now and saying, too late, yours started years ago. Well, hang on to your seats, guys. Researchers have found out that our brains start aging faster than usual at around the age of 44. Yep, the party kind of starts in your mid-40s, but not necessarily in a fun way. Things then really pick up, peaking around the age of 67. And after that, the aging process begins to slow down again, sort of coasting to a gentle stop by the time you hit your 90s, if any of us make it that far. Now, this insight comes from quite a ginormous study involving nearly 20,000 brain scans from people aged 18 to 90. The researchers looked at how different parts of the brain communicate with each other through blood flow and electrical signals, etc. And they found that these connections begin to break down more quickly in midlife. So here's where it gets interesting, though. This quickening in brain aging seems to be linked to something most of us have heard of, insulin resistance. This is when your body doesn't respond to insulin very well, which messes with how your sugar moves from your blood into your cells. And according to this study, about 88% of North Americans show at least one sign of this issue. So it's not just a diabetic problem, it's a widespread one. But why does this matter for your brain? Because your brain loves sugar. It uses it for energy. But if it can't get sugar efficiently because of insulin resistance, some parts of the brain might start aging faster. But here's the thing. It turns out that certain areas of the brain are more flexible. Instead of relying on sugar for energy, they can switch to using something else called ketones. You may also have heard of ketones if you've come across the keto diet. Ketones are chemicals your body produces when it burns fat for energy, especially when sugar is in low supply. They're like your brain's backup battery, if you will. And this study suggests that ketones might help slow down the brain's aging process. Now, the researchers decided to test this idea. So they took a group of guinea pig volunteers aged 20 to 79, scanned their brains, and then had them fast overnight so their brains were running low on sugar, and then gave them either a ketone drink or a sugary drink, both with the same number of calories. After just half an hour, they did another brain scan. And the result? The ketone drink appears to have helped smooth out some of those aging-related disruptions in the brain's communication networks, especially in people aged 40 to 59. In that age group, the brain seemed to respond 80% better to the ketones than it did in younger adults. But before you all go mad ordering tubs of ketone powder online, here's a couple of things you should know. This was a short-term study, and I mean short. They only measured the effect once on one day, and they didn't test for memory, attention span, or anything else we might usually associate with brain health. If you're in the United States, the FDA does not regulate the exogenous ketone supplement market, and if you do decide to try ketone supplements, make sure to consult your health professional first. So while the results are exciting, it's still very early days. Still, it raises a big question. Could ketone supplements be a simple way to give your brain a little support as you age? And the answer is maybe, especially for people who have already got signs of insulin resistance. And it could also be helpful for people with extreme insulin resistance who are incapable of making their own ketones due to metabolic changes in the body. But the researchers also point out something important. The best solution might not be supplements at all, but to prevent insulin resistance in the first place. And how do you do that? Well, you guessed it, with a good old boring healthy eating habits and balanced lifestyle. There is also the keto diet itself, which forces the body to make ketones naturally by cutting out carbs from your diet. That can work, But it's not for everyone. It's tough to stick with and sometimes comes with its own challenges. So it's not something to jump into lightly. So here's a takeaway. Your brain starts aging faster around your mid-40s, but there might be ways to help it age more sort of gracefully. Ketones, whether from your body or from a supplement, could be part of the puzzle, especially if your brain's sugar supply isn't what it used to be. But as always, more research is needed, and there's no magic bullet. So take care of your body and your brain, and I'll catch you next time on The Real Deal for more stories that connect the science with real life. And finally on Far Out Stuff. So I love these stories. Nuticles, fake balls, real feelings. Ladies and gentlemen, dog lovers and proud parents of pets. Today we're diving testicle first into one of the most absurd yet oddly touching corners of veterinary science. Nuticles. Yes, that's right. Fake dog's testicles. Now, let's set the scene. You've neutered your dog. His bollocks are gone. His canine swagger is no more. You look into his sad, slightly confused eyes and wonder, is Rover still the same macho mutt he used to be? Well, fear not, worthy listener. Thanks to one man in Missouri with a dream and an apparently very thankful bloodhound named Buck, your dog's crown jewels can now be reinstalled. But what exactly are these nuticles? Well, nuticles are silicone testicular implants for pets who've been snipped but still want to swing, cosmetically. They are the, I can't believe it's not balls, of the animal kingdom. Developed in 1993 by Greg Miller, who was traumatized by the loss of his bloodhound Buck's tackle, nuticles have been making neutered dogs feel whole again since 1995, but not just dogs. They're available for cats, horses, bulls. I mean, it's a farmyard fiesta of fake gonads. They've also made Mr. Miller a very rich man. Now, I know you're asking yourself, but why though? Well, hear me out. While neutering is a great strategy for curbing pet overpopulation and discouraging behaviours like aggression, scent marking and those testosterone-fuelled walkabouts, some owners still hesitate to give their pet the snip. Why? Because post-neutering, Fido looks, well, a bit deflated. So in come nuticles to save the day, designed to bring back the bounce without reversing the snip. They don't affect hormone levels or behaviour, but aesthetically, your pooch is back to being top dog at the park. But what are they made of? Well, I'm glad you asked. There are three luxurious models to choose from. You've got the original, hard plastic, think sort of bowling ball chic. Then you've got the naturals, solid silicone with that classic testicle firmness. But if you really want to go upmarket, then go for the ultra, also silicone but softer. Ideal if your dog prefers that plush, realistic ball feel. Now, these high-end nuggets are made from American FDA-approved materials, and they come in five sizes. Oh yeah, size matters, even in the world of synthetic scrotums. But are there any health risks? Surprisingly, not really. No major complications have been reported. No leakage either, because these aren't those sketchy 90s silicone implants. We're talking solid materials here, sturdy orbs, bulletproof balls practically. And each pair comes with a $1 million product liability guarantee. That's more than most dating apps offer. So what's the damage? Well, cost-wise, they start at about $160 for the basic model. But if you want to go ultra-premium for your prints, you're looking at about $700 each. Well, perhaps that's a small price to pay for keeping your pup's street cred intact. So, is there any controversy? Well, of course there is. Many people, including veterinarians and animal welfare organisations, are against the use of testicular implants for dogs. Their primary concern is that the procedure is purely cosmetic and offers no medical benefit to the dog, potentially causing unnecessary surgical risks and complications. Additionally, some worry that it normalizes unnecessary cosmetic surgery on animals and could be used to conceal a dog's neutered status. Now, some vet authorities, like the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons in the UK, think this is all a bit much. They call it unethical cosmetic surgery. New Zealand vets also say it can't be justified. But, you know, if a pair of silicone marbles is the thing that tips an owner from I don't want to neuter him, he's going to look weird, to chop him off, doc, then maybe it's going to do more good than harm. I just recently read a story about a lady who took her male dog to get the nuticles inserted while her husband was away on a business trip. And she said when he came back, he noticed no difference at all because he was dead set against it ever happening. you know, he wanted to keep his male dog very male. But she said the main thing is her dog has now stopped humping everything in sight. So my final thoughts. Nuticles may sound like a punchline, and let's be real, they are hilarious. But they also reflect something kind of sweet. They're about owners who care deeply for their pet's dignity, even if it's based on two ping-pong-sized lumps of silicone. So next time you're at the dog park and you see a neutered dog walking tall, tail high, balls bouncing like it's nobody's business, you'll secretly know. Now stay classy, neuter responsibly, and remember, when it comes to your dog's confidence, maybe it is what's on the outside that counts. You know, I've got this vision of someone with a neutered chihuahua looking at some neuticles, looking at his dog and thinking, what have I got them two sizes up? Now, speaking of which, if you want to be in solidarity with Fido when you go for a walk, the Neuticles website gift shop are offering a pair of natty-looking earrings made from neuticles at a snip for $170. Now, if you are a pet owner who's got a pair of fake dog bollocks, for your dog, not you, or are considering it, myself and the other listeners would be fascinated to know what led you to the decision. Drop me a line at thisupbeatlife@gmail.com and tell me all about it. Until next time, everyone, remember, happiness is the best medicine. Happiness also happens to be a dog. Okay, that wraps up the show for today. Thanks for your time and for listening. As always, I'd appreciate it if you could like, follow and subscribe to my show, This Upbeat Life, so I know I'm on the right track. And even better, leave a review and share it with your friends. Now here on This Upbeat Life, you can share your thoughts, you can ask questions and be part of our growing community. And if you've got a story for far out stuff, or you just want to get in touch with your health and wellness stories and ideas, then email me at thisupbeatlife@gmail.com and I'll read it out on the next show. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram as This Upbeat Life and on Blue Sky as Simon JJ Green. And until next time, remember, happiness is the best medicine.